It's that time. Here we are, living the good life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Glad to be right here in this chair, as always. Love it, love it, love it. And some of you may be going, seriously? Yes, yes. Radio's in my blood. My dad told me that years ago, and he said that he started it all. And I said, huh, how's that? And he said that in high school, he had a little radio show in high school, Marion High School, Jim, in Marion, Indiana. He had a radio show, and he said, that's how come you got radio in your blood. And I do, and I love it, and you love it, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, my associate pastor, the wonderful, the great, the amazing, Pastor Jim.
I do love it, and oddly enough, when I was in high school...
Oh, you too, huh?
We had a short little, well, the radio station in our town at that time in Greenfield was just across the street from the high school.
Greenfield, Indiana.
So my senior year, it was just a short little show, but I was the voice of Greenfield Central.
That's great.
I got to do like announcements and stuff
like
that.
Did you really?
So, yeah. So I'm,
you
know,
got
that's
it in your blood too.
Well, and that's why when... 9 years ago, mm-hmm. when I was asked, you know, when you asked me to help out with radio, it's like, oh, sure, I've been there before. I can do this.
You know, it really is a joy. We love being here. We have our Thursday night counseling show also on the station at 6:06 p.m. Thursday nights with Dr. Angel and I. Love doing that show, too. This show started out in... 2007, April, with Nathan Burton from our ministry and Connie Farmer and I sitting in there in that studio where you are now. And we actually taped that first show. Mm-hmm. And we realized after that we had to go live from that point on, because if you tape it, then you want to stop and correct things and it just doesn't work. So we have since that moment on been live and so excited every single time that we get a chance to share the word of God with our listeners now scattered around the globe. So if you're listening today on Tantalk Network.com or if you're listening Saturday or Sunday on Starcom Radio Network.com at 10 a.m. Eastern, this show will be repeated this Saturday and Sunday. Or whenever you listen to it on podcast or whatever, it's a joy to have our listeners respond to us. We love to hear from you. And you can send us a quick text, 727-888-4171. Or you can send a little email. Pastor, that's me, pastor@bohmglobal.com, stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. Pastor Jim, my associate in there, is Pastor Jim. I'm just plain Pastor because I got mine before yours.
Yeah, so we had to make some sort of difference.
Yes. so he's Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com. And we love to hear from our listeners. Would you speak to that, Pastor Jim, while I get organized right
well,
here?
Well, yeah, we do, because we have, well, a couple of ministries that kind of require emails. One would be the prayer ministry, which I know we'll talk about more later. But also... you know, things we talk about on the show, oftentimes, or usually, we have a prayer, you know, prayer time.
Yeah.
And, you know, if God talks to you about something, if you get saved, if you have questions,
right,
please, by all means, email either Pastor or myself. We want to know how you're doing. We want to know if we can help, because there's, you know, especially if you, you know, if you're going through a struggle or something, that's a good time to use the prayer line. If you have questions, or maybe you just became a new Christian and you don't know quite what this is all about yet, or you have, you know, questions about, well, where, you know, where should I read the Bible? What about prayer? Things like that. Please, you know, send us an email. Either
you past, love to answer these, don't
I
you?
I do love to answer those. So that would be, like Pastor said, mine is PastorJim@BOHMGlobal.com. And, of course, Pastor Marcia can be Pastor@BOHMGlobal.com.
And we really want to hear from our audience. And we're going to talk more about the prayer line in a little while, but that's so important, and to make it, we have it available to everyone around the world that hears this show that can send in prayer requests to prayers@bohmglobal.com, and I'll let you talk more about that in a little while. You know, this is interesting. We had such an amazing service this morning, didn't we, at Beacon?
Yes, we did.
Oh, power of God. We've moved to a new location. If you are interested in Sunday morning service at Beacon of Hope, we no longer have a Wednesday night. We do the Sunday morning now at 10 a.m. Just email Pastor Jim at PastorJim@BOHMGlobal.com, and he'll tell you where we're meeting right then. We're kind of on the move here and there, and we gave up our building about 3 years ago, and we've just been kind of on the move since, and just letting God lead and direct, and getting ready to deal with some of that stuff in storage.
Praise Jesus.
So anyway, we are in our 17th year as a ministry. Celebrated our 16-year anniversary last Sunday. Really fun to do that. This song is kind of a different one to start the show with, but it's been on my heart. And I think it will be a blessing to you. By the group Hillsong, let me get the title right, Let the Peace of God Reign. And that's our prayer for you today. Love this song.
Father of life,
let it be a prayer.
Lord, my heart is set on you. Let me run the race of time with your life unfolding. Let the peace of God, let it rain. Oh, Holy Spirit, oh my.
Praise God. Love those words. Love that tune. Oh, now I know why God selected that for this show. Oh, Lord, I hunger for more of you. Rise up within me. Let me know your truth. And then there was a line, let me run the race with you in my mind. Whoa, talk to us, PJ. Wow, well, love that.
We actually talked about running a race this morning
today.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yes.
We kind of got to that part in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So.
Yeah, we're going to get there again, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing the way God puts all that stuff together.
You know, it always blows my mind, but it shouldn't, because it's simply following the leading of the Holy Spirit. This morning in our praise and worship, after we thought we were done with worship, God spoke to my heart and said we need to do the one in the presence of Jehovah, which we did. And then that just fed into a prophetic word, and it fed into the anointed word and everything that God had for today. And he does this because he has a plan for these shows. He has a plan for our services. He has a plan for our Facebook post. He knows what we're doing and why we're doing it. He's got an agenda, if you will. And it's all good. Talk to me about that, PJ.
I like that. A mission.
A mission.
Yeah. Nothing... I'm trying to remember the exact word that you've used in the past, but nothing God does is without thought.
Mm-hmm. It's intentional.
It's intentional. That's intentional.
I get that from Graham Cook's writings. I love that. Yeah, he's always talking about the intentionality of God.
Right. God is an intentional God.
So intentional.
Nothing takes him by surprise.
Right.
And what he does for a specific purpose. And that's like, he just makes things fit.
He so does. And if I'm looking at you funny, it's because I'm sitting here in amazement. I'm in the control room, you're in the studio, but those dear folks, right? Brother Apostle and Brother George, his wife, she just now came in and said something to me from God for me. And it had to do with this very thing. That's why I'm looking at you so weird, because she said, and I wrote it down, that God is saying that what's going on in my life right now is a movement of his. It's something he's doing. I've had a rough year in some ways. But she said the same type of concept just now to me as a word from God. She had it written down. And it has to do with the intentionality of God. When we live in God's realm, we don't live in a coinky dinky world, you know, coincidences all the time. Oh, you're just lucky, or oh, that was just a coincidence. No, we live in the intentionality of God when you are God's child. Talk to us.
Well, and I remember one thing that Corrie Ten Boom always said, or it may have been her sister Betsy, but there are no ifs in God's world.
Right.
You know, because nothing takes God by surprise.
True.
Things may take us by surprise, but because nothing takes him by surprise, we can relax.
Yeah.
In knowing that he's got it under control. You know, the fall, I just read that. I do the Sabbath readings, and we're back into Genesis now. That didn't take him by surprise.
No.
He knew. He knew that was going to.
Adam and Eve.
Yet he still gave Adam and Eve free will, even though he knew what it would cost to do that.
But, you know, all that being true, when we have that free will, and we all do, then we have the choice. Are we going to be the sold out soldiers of God's army that he is calling us to be in this day and time when the world is, if anything, unstable, if anything, kind of scary in so many ways? And this is not a political show, so I'm not getting into any of that. But I think everybody in the audience can relate to the fact that life is maybe not as stable and secure as we thought it was back in the early days when we were kids. You know, you know, back many, many years ago.
Back in the days of the Flintstones?
Right, back then, yeah. Yeah, when you were born.
But that's true. I mean, just for me personally, I mean, I look back and it actually was Bible prophecy that got me to come to Jesus in the first place.
Cool, yes.
And it's like the 80s were pretty tumultuous.
The 60s. Yeah. Cuba.
But now, it's like there's just such a stirring.
Yeah.
And like you said, things seem like they're out of control, and yet we just have to remember there's that song now running through my head, Twilight Paris, God is in control.
Yeah.
Even when it looks like things are crazy.
Right.
God's not dropped the ball. He's not walked off the stage.
He has not.
It's an odd scripture to be one of my favorites, but it's in the book of Revelation where the locusts are let out of the abyss. I believe that's trumpet number 5.
Okay.
But the locusts are let out of the pit, but it says who were there for the day, the month, and the year. God has everything planned out.
He so does.
To the exact minute. I mean, he knows what's going to happen. And that, in days like this, is a comfort. Because if I was just on my own.
Right.
I've been cutting back my Facebook time because it just. It's not spiritually healthy a lot, quite honestly.
Yeah.
But I have friends on Facebook that it's like, I plead for God to open up their eyes to give them hope.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, this is horrible, this is horrible, this is horrible, this is horrible.
But our circumstances can look awful at any given moment. And the future can look dismal at any given moment, but when God is our source and we are living as a child of His and we are trying our best to please Him and serve Him on a daily basis and to just listen to His voice and follow His leading, then He gives us new hope. I remember Lamentations 3:21-22. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It's an intentional thing we have to do sometimes. I've had to do it this very week. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses and tender mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We all know that old hymn. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And that's what God is saying to the church right now, I believe.
Oh, absolutely. We need to remember His faithfulness.
Yes.
His mercy. I can't remember where the scriptures, but in judgment, remember mercy.
Right.
It was a plea of one of the prophets. In judgment, remember. I think it may have been even Job. In judgment, remember mercy.
Right.
That's so important because even in His judgment, God's merciful.
Absolutely.
I mean, heaven knows if He wasn't, I wouldn't be here. I'd be a little pile of ash somewhere.
Well, seriously. Mercy is when we don't get what we deserve.
Mm-hmm. And grace is when we get what we don't deserve.
Right.
And, you know, the two go hand in hand.
Right.
I mean, praise God for God's mercy, for His
Amen.
Salvation.
Yes.
And like I said earlier, He knew even before He created Adam and Eve what was going to happen. And even back then, that's why Jesus is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God knew. The plan was made, put it into motion. And, you know, thank you, Father, for the blood of your Son, Jesus.
Yes.
Because that's what enables us to have fellowship with the Father, to know Him, to continue to know Him and His ways.
Yes.
So that we don't get taken by surprise, so that we can have hope, we can look beyond what's seen and look to the unseen.
Amen.
And look, you know, we look beyond this and look to to what's going on behind the scenes and know that God is in control.
Oh, amen. This series we're in right now, Who Is He? I questioned God when he gave me that title several weeks ago, Who Is He? I thought, you know, that's not like really a catchy title, God, or you know, it's kind of, what is that? But you know what? It has been a blessing as we begin to unravel this teaching in who he is, because as I've said many times on the air, a lot of people know about him. Very few right. people really know him. And to know him is really to love him, because right. he loves us so very much.
Well, and in Psalm 103, it says, you know, you made known your deeds to Israel. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, made known your ways to Moses, your deeds to the children of Israel. It's great to know, to watch God in action.
Mm-hmm.
But you can kind of see that didn't, I mean, the children of Israel also needed to know God's ways, to know him rather than just know about him.
Right.
Because they're, allegiance to him was kind of hot and cold. It was off and on. Moses, on the other hand, except for that one big old slip up there that one time with hitting the rock a second time, and that he did because he was angry, but he knew God's ways. He knew God face to face as much as a human could at that point.
Yes, he did.
So that's a wonderful thing. In that here, you know, Moses knew his ways. And that's like my prayer. Yeah, show me your deeds. I want to see your deeds. But I want to know your ways. I want to know kind of the ins and outs of God.
We don't have that song today, but show me your ways. You know, mm-hmm. that one. I mean, because that is. And as we learn who he is, we get a grasp on what he wants to do for us. You know,
mm-hmm.
and how he's working in our lives when we begin to see who he is. The name Jesus means five things. It means the Lord, our Savior, Jehovah, our Savior, Jehovah, our Deliverer, our Safety, our Helper, and our Prosperer. Last week we talked about Deliverer. This week we're going to talk about Prosperer. And what that means, so many people translate that and think that it means that we got to have the finest house, the biggest cars, all the boats, all the toys, and that is when God is really blessing someone and prospering them. And that's really not what it means. We're going to delve into what it really means for him to be our prosperer. Pretty cool.
Amen.
Woo. So I want to play this song. It's entitled by Hillsong, None But Jesus, because this series is all about Jesus.
In the quiet, in the stillness, I know that you are God. In the secret of your presence, I know there I am restored. Confusion.
We live to bring him praise. There's none like him. This is all about who he is. There is none like him. We're going to Psalm 92, verse 1. What a beautiful thing, God, to give thanks, to sing an anthem to you, the high God, to announce your love each daybreak. Announcing his love each daybreak. You know, thank you, God, that you love me. You open your eyes. Thank you, Lord, you love me. I'm announcing your love. Thank you, Lord, that I can love others because you love me. Singing your faithful presence all through the night. And then it's talking about being accompanied by musical instruments. And then verse 4, you made me so happy, God. I saw your work and I shouted for joy. How magnificent your work, God. How profound your thoughts. And it's so important that we start our day reminding God how amazing it is, what he's doing in our lives, how much he loves us. And so often I think that people just get up and go into their normal routine and they forget all about giving thanks to him. In the, what translation are you in? I think it's NIV. It says it's a good thing to give thanks.
I've got English Standard.
Okay, what's it say?
It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. It is a good thing.
Yeah, we used to sing that.
Thanks unto the Lord. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time I see that, I immediately go into that song.
Well, we used to sing that a lot back in the day. It's a good thing to give thanks to God.
Well, it is a good thing.
It is. And so often, Pastor Jim, people just forget all about the fact that God loves our praise and wants us to be praising him more probably than most of us even do.
Right, right. I mean, and you think, well, why is it a good thing? Well, I mean, there's a whole series of teachings on why praising and thanking God is a good thing to do. And I like this. You know, it's good to give thanks. That's one thing. Sing praises to your name, O Most High. To declare your steadfast love.
Yeah.
In the morning and your faithfulness by night.
Mm-hmm.
We make those declarations. God, I thank you that your steadfast love, by your steadfast love and mercy, I am your child.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. We make those declarations. You're good to your word.
Yeah.
You're faithful to fulfill what you promised. And, you know, and yeah, if you got a band to accompany you, that's even better.
That's even better.
According to verse 3 and 4, that's a wonderful thing.
That's a wonderful thing to have a band, yeah, and have music.
But it was funny. Who
go
was
ahead.
It? I think it was Sean this morning in church. We used that we were doing Praise Him by Tommy Walker, his version of it.
Yeah.
And Second Generation Praise. And Sean made the comment, it is so great to be able to see it, to be there with the worship.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's true. I mean, you feel like you're in this, you know, huge crowd of people all worshiping the Lord.
Right, it was cool.
And, yeah, it does help, I think, to have a band.
Yeah. But,
and praise God for technology, so we don't need a real band. We've got it on.
We've got it.
We've
we
got it anyway.
It.
We can see it. So.
But, you know, it comes right back to the importance of praising God and thanking him. And, you know, just like people like to be thanked, if you do something for somebody, you know, you want people to say, hey, well, thank you for doing that, mm-hmm. or thank you for thinking about that, or thank you for remembering my birthday, or thank you for that nice flower you brought me, or whatever. We like to be thanked. People like that,
mm-hmm.
you know? I remember when my little twin great-granddaughters, Aaliyah and Briley, were just learning to talk, and one of the first things that their mama and daddy taught them was to say thank you and please. And I was so impressed. Here's little two-year-olds. You're handing them something to eat. Thank you. Thank you, Nana. Whoa. Doesn't that just make us realize how, if we love it that much to be thanked, how much more does God love our thanks?
Well, and we're created in his image,
yeah.
which means we are a relational creation.
Mm-hmm.
We're created to be in that relationship. And being thankful, giving thanks, telling somebody we're thankful, that's part of being in a relationship.
Oh, it is. Yeah, right. Over to about verse, maybe it's 12. My ears are filled. I'm in the Message Bible. You can tell me what verse that is in your translation.
11.
11. My ears, in Psalm 92, if you're just joining us, Psalm 92, 11. My ears are filled with the sounds of promise. Good people will prosper like palm trees. They will grow tall like Lebanon cedars, transplanted to God's courtyard. They'll grow tall in the presence of God, lithe and green and virile, still in old age. Let's read those three or four verses. Maybe it's four. I don't know. 11, 12, 13, 14.
Okay. Well, 11 is completely different than the message.
Okay.
Just so you know. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants.
Okay, then 12 to 14.
The righteous flourish like
That's
a palm
it.
Tree
That's
and
it.
Grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, praise God, and they are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright.
Yes.
He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
You said that word twice, the flourish word. That's what we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
Prosperer, Jesus being our prosperer, means this very thing. That he causes us, as we get in line with him and his word, and we desire to be what he wants us to be, and really, you know, act the way he wants us to act and think the way he wants us to think, we begin to flourish. The word flourish there literally means sprout. Sprout. Now, as I was talking about this morning in my sermon, I was actually talking about all the plants I have, and I have tons of plants, and I love them outside and inside, and they're very important to me, and I know them all, and they all have names, too, by the way.
It's a jungle.
It's a jungle. I love it. And I love to see them flourish. I love to see what my plants do when they get transplanted to a broader place,
mm-hmm.
like ponytail palm. That one started out as just a little tiny thing that my daughter-in-law had and then gave me. And then it is now in this great big huge pot. And ponytail palm loves to grow and grow tall towards the ceiling. And she's beautiful. And she looks like a ponytail, actually. And as we were talking about these plants, I find it interesting that this psalmist uses that term. You're going to flourish like a palm tree
mm-hmm.
planted in the house of the Lord. Talk to me about that.
Well, what you said
Prosperer.
Is true. Yeah. The righteous flourish. Those in a right relationship with God flourish like the palm tree and grow like the cedars of Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of the Lord.
Amen.
That's talking about getting close to God. Like,
yes.
Like, you know, we talked about before, knowing God's ways, knowing God, being in his presence is
mm-hmm.
where you flourish. It's where
yes.
you grow. It's where you sprout. And, you know, I said this is becoming one of my favorite verses. They still bear fruit in old age.
That's because you're so old?
That's because I'm getting up there. But I like that. And I love
yes.
it. I love this.
I love it too.
They are ever full of sap. And green.
Wow.
You know, that just shows me, you know, just because you're getting older does not mean God cannot use you.
Absolutely not.
God can use anyone, and he
yes.
promises if you stay close to him, you're going to be flourishing, you're going to be bearing fruit, you're going to be full of life to declare that the Lord is upright, to declare the good stuff about God, that he is my rock. There's no unrighteousness in him.
So important. And I love the fact that the psalmist says it doesn't matter what your age is. God can still use you and
Amen.
God can still prosper you and you can still flourish or sprout
right.
in the house of the Lord. You can still be a vital part of the kingdom of God right here on this earth. And I think so many people tend to disregard people as they get older and think that they don't have much to offer. And it's interesting that the way life is the older you get, the wiser you get usually. Not everybody. But I mean, people that are in tune with God's Holy Spirit and are in the Word get more full of God. I started to say fuller, but it's true. Fuller of God and of his presence. And because of that, that's where this flourishing happens. And the plant, which is us, just gets more beautiful and grows like a palm tree. We are blessed to live in Florida, and we have palm trees everywhere. Practically every parcel of land's got at least a little bit of a palm tree right on it down here. Palm trees are everywhere, and palm trees, they grow in the dry, you know, sandy soil. They grow, they don't have to have a whole lot of water. And but yet I love to see there's one right out here on Bayshore as I'm driving to the radio station. Maybe you've seen it out by the water, and the palm tree, and it started up a little ways and then it just curved way over, and it leans way over, kind of like a right angle. It's so unique, that palm tree. And I know people look at it and go, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. It's not a normal palm tree. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be just a normal palm tree. I want to be kind of a unique one.
You want to be a bent palm tree.
A bent one, yeah, evidently. But you know what I'm saying? Just as palm trees grow, the psalmist uses this as such a beautiful metaphor. And he says, God's people, the ones that are becoming everything that they can, will prosper like palm trees. Mm-hmm. Love it. Go ahead.
Well, amen. And I keep going back to, you know, planted in the house of the Lord.
Planted in the house of the Lord.
There's that scripture.
I'm like a tree.
Yes. I'm like a green olive tree.
Comes
in the
right
house.
Yes.
The house of the Lord.
You're singing today.
I am singing today. And that's the important place. Where are you planted?
Right.
If you're planted out, metaphorically speaking, outside of the house of God,
right,
you might grow, but you're never going to flourish.
A palm tree is not going to go do good in Alaska.
No.
A palm tree is not going to do good in a frigid, awful climate of South Dakota. Well, it's just not.
May I just ask, how many palm trees did we see in Indiana?
None. And yeah, we grew up there. We never saw a palm tree, right?
Right.
And that's one thing that makes Florida so unique and California, is people come to this area of the country, they are usually amazed and impressed by the variety. There's not just one kind of palm tree. There's all kinds of palm trees. There's Robolinis, there's a lot of, I used to know some of the names, I don't. But there's a lot of names, and there's a lot of different palm trees, just
right,
like my palm tree, the ponytail palm.
Right, right. And it's, well, God loves variety.
He
obviously
does. Diversity.
Diversity. And yet, you know, you have to grow in the right soil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to be in a place where you can grow. And you know, the psalmist here is saying, in the house of the Lord.
It's in the house of the Lord.
You know,
God's courtyard, transplanted to God's courtyard, it says.
And I think of in the tabernacle, well, in the temple also, they had the table of the showbread.
Right.
Which was right outside that veil where mm-hmm. God's presence dwelt.
Right.
So that bread got to soak in the glory of God.
Woo!
For a whole week.
Yeah.
And then the priests would eat it.
Yes.
So, you know, that's kind of what it's talking about here. In the presence of God, in his courts, in the temple, we are close and we can get to know him. We can
right.
soak up his glory. We can talk to him. And that's how our roots go down.
Yeah.
And that's how we draw our nourishment. That's how we grow and how we flourish.
And we flourish because we want to be in the courtyards of the Lord. We want to hang out with God's people. We want to be in the Word of God. We want to allow God to do a work in us, perhaps, that hasn't been done before. Let's go to Psalm 1, one of my favorite psalms. Actually, in the whole book of Psalms, and there's so many, but I just love Psalm 1. And I've got the Message Bible, and it doesn't sound the same. So you're going to have to read Psalm 1, 1 through 3.
I'm laughing because I could also sing this one.
You could sing this one, too? Uh-huh. I don't even know the song for this
Blessed
one.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Okay, I don't know that.
You don't know that? Oh, that's a real...
Real old one?
I think it comes actually from Hobart Freeman's church. Okay. Way long
Clear
time
back,
ago.
Long time ago. Well, but Psalm 1, 1 to 3.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and
night.
There
you go. That's it right
He's
there.
He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
Oh, there's that word. He prospers. And we're going to see in the Message Bible that is translated, he's always in blossom. So that goes right along with this concept of nourishment, this concept of flourishing, sprouting. Listen to it in the Message Bible. It's quite interesting. It says, how well God must like you. I love this. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. Love that. The first verse of Psalm 1, the way the Message Bible translates. Instead, I love this. God loves insteads, by the way. By the way, that's a whole sermon of Isaiah 61. You know, he gives you beauty instead of ashes. He gives you a garment of praise instead of sorrow and weeping, okay? God loves the word instead. Instead, you thrill to God's word. You thrill to God's word. God, people begin to read the word and you go, oh, I love the word. I just love to hear that. Listeners, this show is all about God's word. It's been this way for 16 years now going into, no, this show has been going on 11 years, almost 12, but the ministry, 16, now in our 17th year, and we are all about the Word of God. And when we begin to get our Bible out, we should be excited to sit down and thrill to God's Word. You chew. This is that meditate thing right there. You chew on Scripture day and night. You're a tree planted in Eden. Bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. Now, the more I read that, I kind of like the way the Message Bible put that because it's so practical for us. We thrill at God's word and chew on Scripture day and night. Then you're like a tree planted. Whoa, you become that tree, that palm tree that flourishes when you see the importance of chewing on the Scripture. Talk to me about that, PJ. That's well, where it's at.
People think chewing on the Scripture. What in the world is that woman talking about? But, you know, I just read it this morning and marked it. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, your words were found
and
I
read it yesterday. Yep.
And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name. O Lord God of hosts.
I just quoted that very verse, but I quoted the scripture reference wrong, and I knew it after I finished the Facebook post of this past week. I said it was Jeremiah 16, 15. It's 15, 16.
16, yeah.
Yeah. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I love that verse, because that's what God's word does. It becomes to us our joy, the rejoicing of our heart. We get excited to read these scriptures. I love teaching the word of God. There's nothing I'd rather do in this whole world than teach the word. Somebody asked me, a close relative last week, what do you want to do the rest of your life? Okay, this was an interesting question coming from this person. And I said, you mean if I had a choice right this minute what I would be doing with every hour of my day that I wasn't sleeping or whatever? And she said, yes, what would you be doing? I said, teaching the word of God. More than real estate. I've done real estate 26 years. I love real estate. But I said, yes, I would rather be teaching and talking about the word of God, chewing on the word of God, meditating on the word of God than anything in my entire life. You know, it's so important that we see that the word needs to be priority in our lives. Talk to me.
Well, that's true. I mean, Psalm 1 says that, Joshua chapter 1, Jeremiah chapter 15.
Yes.
I'll talk about basically meditating on the word, and the word meditate is as the message kind of brings out, is to chew the cud.
Chew it.
It's
yeah.
to just keep ruminating on
oh,
it,
yeah.
bringing you back up, thinking about it, muttering it. I mean, it actually the word there actually means to mutter under your breath.
Yeah. Just so keep it's meditating.
Like, it's like, you know, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And you would just keep repeating that and, you know, not to put yourself in a trance or anything, but to really just
yeah, just to really chew on it. You know, for you to bring up Jeremiah 15:16, and it was on my Facebook post this week, but it's also been on my heart all weekend. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. That's chewing on them. I ate them, and they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Potter's Hand. Perfect song right now, don't you think? Because God has us in the palm of his hand and he's changing us.
Wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand and crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your
Take me, mold me, change me. Potter's Hand, we want God to be that potter that changes us as he walks beside us and lives on the inside of us and causes us to become what he has desired for us to become. That's what it's all about. this series, Who Is He? He's the one who wants to be your prosperer. He wants you to flourish in the court of the Lord. Talk to us, PJ. That's what he wants for you,
well,
dear one.
Yeah, absolutely. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to live in abundance, because that glorifies him. And of course, you know, like we mentioned before, by abundance, I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about just monetary, you know, abundance or anything like that. But he wants us to a lot of times the scriptures in the Old Testament called, you know, to get fat, to be a lot with fatness.
Right.
And wants us just to live the abundant life.
Yes,
I mean,
he
that's
does.
Why Jesus came. And
yes.
That's not just saying, okay, you know, I came to give you money and give it to you more abundantly, but it's a global sort of mm-hmm. thing. And I think we tend to lose sight of that.
Right.
Or we tend to pick one area and forget about the others. I mean, you know, yeah, God wants to make sure that all our needs are met. God wants physical, emotional, spiritual.
All of that. And it's not just money. And a lot of people get stuck on the money part.
Stuck on the money part. Or they react completely opposite and don't even go toward that part of it at all. And, you know, think, well, I'm saved. Now I have to live in poverty.
Right.
And that's going to the other extreme.
Right. Sure.
I mean, yeah, God may not give you, two or three Cadillacs, but he's going to take care of your needs. That's what he promised. He didn't promise to take care of your wants.
Right.
He promised to take care of your needs.
Amen.
And he will. I can attest to that, if I may preach for just a moment.
You may.
You know, even when I wasn't really walking with the Lord, I still tithed.
Right.
I mean, I found places to give my money to, you know, ministries.
It's interesting that even though you weren't walking with the Lord, you knew the value of giving to his kingdom.
I was kind of walking with the Lord, but I wasn't going to church.
Right.
And, you know, but I knew. I mean, I had ministries that I followed, and they kind of were my church. So that's where I tithed. And God, I've been doing that consistently for well over. There was a time when I didn't, and I've been tithing consistently for well over 20 years, mm-hmm. and God has always met my needs.
He does.
You know, it's an amazing thing.
And he is our prosperer in our finances. He is our prosperer in our emotions, mm-hmm. our physical bodies. He wants us, well, 3 John 2, the third book of John, clear at the back of your Bible. The Apostle John wrote the book of John. He also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And the book of 3rd John, verse 2, it's only one chapter. It's one of the most famous verses in the Bible, if you want to think that Bible verses can be famous. And it is, brethren, or whatever, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Do you want to read it, whatever translation you're in? That's 3 John 2.
Mm-hmm. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you,
mm-hmm.
and that you may be in good health, as it goes well with your soul.
Wow. So, I mean, prospering means going well. It means that you're flourishing, that mm-hmm. you're sprouting, that you're growing up like a palm tree in the house of the Lord. It means that you have purpose and destiny. It means that you have a reason to be here, and God's got a plan for your life that is being fulfilled. In fact, on my Facebook post from this past Thursday is hashtag true success. Go catch it on Facebook. Hashtag true success. I said there that true success, the real definition, is spiritually becoming all that God has for you that pleases his heart. And you got a couple seconds. Talk to me about that, and then let's start the second hour with that, okay?
Okay.
What the true definition of success is. And so...
Good, because I love your definition of that.
It is really cool, and it's something that I found in some book that I was reading. It was so good, and it's so right on. Pastor Jim, talk about the prayer ministry real quick, will you?
Okay, sure. We have a prayer ministry, and we delight to pray for you. We enjoy that. I mean, like we said, it's a ministry... not a burden. And we do like, you know, we want to hear from you. If you have a need, no matter how great, no matter how small, God answers prayer. We believe that. We know that. We've seen it happen. We've seen people healed. We've seen impossible
Amen.
Situations
Absolutely.
Turned around. So if you have a need, please email it to prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at bohmglobal.com. It'll either come to me or to Betty or to Shell. It'll come to all of us, actually, and whoever gets to it first, we'll send it out to our prayer team.
Amen.
We write a prayer, send it out to the prayer team. The prayer team, of course, we pray.
Yeah,
we about pray. We write prayers because we want, you know, we believe in unity. We want everybody to be on the, you know, on praying the same thing. And then the only thing that we ask is that when God answers your prayer, please let us know. Just send in a reply back that, you know, when God has answered your prayer, because I do keep track of those.
Yes, we want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. Give us your praise reports. We do that at Beacon in our services. We take time to get prayer requests written down mm-hmm. and praise reports and all that. So